Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Here we go into battle again, my brothers and sisters. Shalom Aleichem. This is Word for a Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and today's show is for Thursday, January the 19th, 2017. And the subject matter of today's show is going to be the book of Isaiah, starting with chapter 2. We finished only chapter 1 yesterday because of all the information that was in it. It was packed with info, and I had to do a lot of commentary. So we're going to be getting into it with chapter 2 today. And this is all prophecy, heavy duty prophecy by Yeshayahu. A little iced tea there. Otherwise known as Isaiah. Let's get right into chapter 2. I'd like to get a couple of chapters done today, because these are so important. Isaiah is a major prophet. He was quoted by the Messiah many, many, many times. So that really raises him up as the level of prophecy. Isaiah and Jeremiah are major prophets, and Ezekiel. So we've got a series of prophetic books coming along here that is going to be very weighty in content. A lot of messianic prophecies in here. So, getting started in chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Yeshayahu, son of Amoz, saw, 2372, concerning Yehuda and Jerusalem. Verse 2. And it shall come to be in the last days, the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be set up in the top of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all nations, 1471, shall flow, 5102, into it. Now he's speaking here in the future of the restored Israel nations. Nobody went into Yahweh's house but Israel. So this will be the new house that will come down. Verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of Elohe Jacob. That's the God of, or divine being of, Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways. That's Teachers 3384. And we shall walk in his paths. Okay, they want to live according to Yahweh's laws because they're so wonderful. And there we go. I had to clear the pipes a little bit. It's dry in here because the heat is on. And my throat gets dry. Because from Zion, T-S-I-Y-O-N, not Z-I-O-N, shall go forth instruction, 8451. That's the Torah. That's one of the meanings of Torah, and the word of Yahweh from Yerushalayim. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations, he being Yahweh, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat, 3807, their swords into plowshares, 855, and their spears into pruning hooks, 4211. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn, 3925, war anymore. This is going to be after all comes to pass. And you can reference verse 4 in the book of Joel. That's Ya'el 3:10. And Micah 4, verse 3. When all the fighting is going to be, all the fighting is going to be done, and we won't need to do any of this. Verse 5. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light, 2:16, of Yahweh. Verse 6. Because you have forsaken, 5:203, your people of the house of Jacob, because they are full, 43:90, from the east. That's full of the practices of the east. They're doing wrong. They're doing sin. They're doing all this idol worship. And are soothsayers, 6:049, like the Pelishtim. That's the Philistines. And they, and this is all one word, cause to clap their hands, 5:606, as the children of racial aliens, 5:237. In other words, they were picking up racially alien practices. Verse 7, their land is also full of silver and gold, nor ends their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, nor ends their chariots. Verse 8, their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, stuff that they made, in other words, that their fingers have made. Verse 9, Adam, 1:20, is humbled, 7:817, and men, 3:76, brought low, 8:213, forgive, 5:375, them not. 5:375 has to do with lifting up of sin. And you notice the difference in this verse between Adam, 1:20, and men, 3:76. Because regular men are different than the seed of Adam. We are not the same. Verse 10. And you can reference verse 10 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. And Revelations chapter 6, verse 15. Enter into the cliffs, 6:697. Hide in the dust for fear of the presence of Yahweh and from the glory of His majesty. Now, who were cliff dwellers? Well, the Edomites lived in Mount Seir. They dwelled in the cliffs of that mountain. Their cities were up in the crags and cliffs in the mountain. Okay. verse 11. The haughty, 1365, eyes of Adam shall be brought low, and the haughtiness, 7312, of men shall be humbled, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted, 7682, in that day. Again, the difference between Adam and regular men, the non-Adamic, the kingdoms of the non-Adamites. Verse 12. Because the day of Yahweh of hosts shall be upon all the proud, that's 1343, and lofty, that's lifted up, 7311, and upon all that are lifted up, and they shall be brought low. Oh, do you remember the old saying, oh, how the mighty have fallen? Well, that's what's coming. You see who's mighty and lifted up today, and all these non-Adamic nations with all this power and the power of the Jew and their money, all lifted up, and now they're all going to be brought low when the day of Yahweh comes, and that's going to be the return of Yeshua Messiah. Now here's verse 13. And trees in this verse are metaphors for people, not literal trees. Verse 13. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon, high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan. Verse 14. And in here, mountains and hills are metaphors for powerful nations. Verse 14, and upon all the high mountains and upon all the hills that are lifted up. Here's verse 15. These are symbols of power. Okay. And upon every high tower and upon every fortified wall. Verse 16, upon all ships, 591, of Tarshish, 8659, and upon all desirable, 2532, Sikioth, 7914, and we don't know what 7914 is. So I just gave the Hebrew word that's used there. We have lost the meaning of that word. So I'm not going to give you an opinion of what it means. I'm just going to give you the Hebrew word and tell you straight out, we don't know what that word means anymore. We've lost the meaning of it. So regardless of what it has in any version of the Bible, when you get into the doctorate level Hebrew studies, it's very plain, we don't know what it is. So whatever they've inserted is their wrongdoing. Verse 17. The loftiness, 1365, a different word, of Adam shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. Again, there's the difference between Adam and other types of men. And Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. Verse 18. And the idols shall entirely, 3632, pass away, 2498. When Yeshua Messiah comes, all these false religions and false gods are going to be destroyed. All the idols of the Catholic Church are going to be destroyed. All these mosques to some false god will be destroyed. There'll be no more Islam. No more of that. Verse 19. They shall enter the caves, 4:6:3:1, of the cliffs. Now, that's speaking of the Edomites right there, because that's how they dwelled. They were cave dwellers, and they lived way up on Mount Seir. And they dug shelters in the sides of the cliffs and stuff. They shall enter the caves of the cliffs and the holes, 4:2:4:7, of the dust, 6:0:8:3, those were earthworks dug into the side of a hill, because dust can also mean soil or ground, for fear of the presence of Yahweh and from the glory of his majesty, when he rises up to make tremble, 6:2:0:6, the land. And the last day, there will be terrible earthquakes that's going to shake everything. Remember, Revelations, all the earthquakes make tremble the land. He's prophesying ahead of time here. Verse 20, in that day an Adam shall cast his idols of silver and idols of gold, which made he to bound down to the digging moles, 2:6:6:1 and 6:5:1:2 combined, and to the bats, 5:8:4:7. Verse 21, to go into the crevice, 5:3:6:6, of the cliffs, and into the clefts, 5:5:8:5, of the crags, 5:5:5:3, for fear of the presence of Yahweh and from the glory of his majesty when he rises up to make tremble the land. That's another repeat, the repeated what was in verse 19, some of it. Verse 22, cease, 2:3:0:8, regarding you from Adam, whose breath, 5:3:9:7, is in his nostrils, 6:3:9, because for what reason is he to be accounted of, 2:8:0:3. And we have a lot of Adamites that are given these opinions and teaching false doctrine today, and he's saying, cease regarding you what they say. They're just breathing out their nose. What reason is he to be accounted of? Who are these false teachers except liars? And there are several times in this chapter 2, where they compare between Adamic men and other men. This is not accidental. Israel is only from the Adamic seed line. There's nothing in this passage that's accidental. Let's get into chapter 3. Because, behold, the Master, Yahweh of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Yehuda the support, 4:9:3:7, and the staff, 4:9:3:8, all support of food, 3:8:9:9, all the support of water. He's going to break their staff of bread. They're not going to be prosper. There'll be famine and drought. This happened. Verse 2, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the diviner, 70-80, and the elder, the diviner. Diviner is a forbidden practice. He's lumping them all in together. Verse 3, the captain of 50, the person of eminence. Oh, in other words, some big, high, rich guy. the Counselor, the Skilled Artificer, 2796, and the Expert, 995, Enchanter, 3908. Another forbidden practice. Verse 4. And he will make boys their rulers, and act as a child when they rule. That happened. The coming kings would act foolish. Verse 5. Oppressed shall be the people, each man by another man, and every man by his fellow. The youth shall storm, 7292, against the elder, and the dishonored, 7034, against the honored, 3513. Well, we've got petty little childlike leaders today that go against the advice of our elders, and people that aren't, that have no honor, that they keep putting back in office, these scumbags, against people of honor. Well, that applies to today. And it happened back then. There's several occurrences of this. And it applies today as well. Verse 6. When a man seizes his brother of the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, be our ruler, 7101, and this overthrown mass, 4384, be under your hand. That's Machashelach, that overthrown mass. And that's a figurative for the kingdom, because Jerusalem had fallen. They were in total disarray. They were going to be shipped off into captivity. Well, Isaiah is prophesying this, but this is what's coming. Not all of this is prophecy for the last days, but it's prophecy of what's coming to the tribe of Judah and Benjamin and Jerusalem. Some of it applies today. There's a lot of messianic prophecy in here. But it's prophecy, and it's random, and it's hard to understand. A lot of this, he's seeing a prophetic vision. It said he saw this. Well, it was a vision given to him. Okay? Verse 7. In that day shall he lift up, saying, I shall not become a binder of wounds, 2280, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. He's repairing the fortunes of people, 2280, a binder of wounds. When everything crashes, don't make me ruler. I'm having enough trouble of my own, in other words. Verse 8, because Jerusalem is stumbled, 3782, and Yehuda is fallen, because their tongue, 3956, and that's a figure of speech, figurative of speech, and their actions, 4611, are against Yahweh, to rebel, 4784, in his eyes of glory. In other words, they were not going to be doing what was obedient to Yahweh, and everything's going to fall apart. He's talking about the destruction, the end times, for the city of Jerusalem. It hadn't been completely destroyed at that point, but he was telling them it was coming. The appearance, verse 9, the appearance of their face witnesses against them. Whoa! Why is your countenance fallen? the appearance of their face witnesses against them because of the racial aliens among them, the Jews, that look different than the sons of Adam. And they declare their sins as sedum, that would be Sodom, okay? They hide it not. In other words, they're bold in their sins. Well, what are these Jews doing today? They're bold in their sin. Verse 9 continues, Woe, 188, to them, because they have done harm to themselves. Aren't the Jews shooting themselves in the foot with their egregious violations of Yahweh's law against us? Doing all these horrible things to the seed of Adam, to true Israel? Compare that with this. What's going on today with what went on in his prophecy here? Now, prophecy just doesn't prophesy one thing. It touches on a lot of stuff. It reaches far into the future. Verse 10, Say to the righteous that it shall be well, for they shall eat the fruit of their actions. Okay, if you do good, you're gonna eat the fruit of your goodness. Verse 11, Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill, for the dealing of his hands shall be done to him. What's going on today? The international banks are in trouble because the nations are defaulting on their debt. They bled everybody dry, and now it's coming back. Think about that. The dealings of his hand shall be done to him. What goes around comes around. Well, what's going to be happening to the Jews as they lose power, which they are doing now? Verse 12, My people are oppressed by youths, young and foolish rulers, and women rule over them. That's the liberal feminist rulers. These libtards that are trying to rule over us today. Oh, my people, those that lead you on, 833, cause you to err, 8582, and swallow up, 1104, the ways of your paths. Are we not being led astray by our leaders today? We're trying to follow Yahweh's laws, and they swallow up the ways, trying to prevent us from acting righteously in Yahweh's laws. Verse 13, Yahweh takes his stand to plead. And pleading is a conduct a legal proceeding. And stands to judge, 1777, the people. Okay, Yahweh's going to judge. When Yeshua Messiah comes back, it's going to be a day of judgment. That's what we're trying so desperately to get people to wake up and see what's coming. I don't want my brothers and sisters facing the wrath of Yahweh. I want them to be on the side of Yahweh. So they enter the kingdom. Verse 14, Yahweh enters into judgment with the elders of his people and the officials of it, for you have consumed the vineyard. We are the vine of Yahweh, okay? And the elders and the officials have consumed the people of the vine, the true vine, okay? The plunder, 1500, of the poor is in your houses. In other words, the usurers are bleeding everybody absolutely dry. Now here Yahweh is going to be speaking, 15. What do you mean by breaking to pieces, 1792, that's one word, my people, and grinding, 2912, the faces of the poor, grinding them into the ground, says the Master, Yahweh of hosts. Verse 16, and says Yahweh, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, 1361, and walk with stretched forth necks, 5186, and ogling, 8265, of eyes. In other words, they have their heads, their nose up in the air, stretched forth, and they're looking at everything, they want everything. Walking and mincing as they go, 2952, mincing, those are quick little steps. Making a tinkling, 5913, with their feet. That's from the bangles on their little bells and stuff they had on their ankles. All right, verse 17. Now, they had altered this to 136, Adonai. The scribes took the name of Yahweh out. I have put it back in. That's one that was clearly noted because the older texts have Yahweh here. Yahweh will smite with a scab, 5596. The crown of the head, 6936, of the daughters of Zion, and Yahweh will uncover, 6186, their patehen, 6596. It's unclear here exactly what that is. It may be the root word that we get pate from, which is the top of the head. Cover the pate, okay? But it's here. The Hebrew word is patehen, and it's an uncovered head is dishonor to a woman. So it may be Yahweh will uncover the top of their head. Because a woman without her head covered is in dishonor. And that's Hebrewism, okay? That's not Babylonian Talmudism. Verse 18, in that day, and here again, they substituted Adonai for Yahweh. In that day, Yahweh will take away the beauty, 8597, of their bangles, 5914, and their sons, 7636, and that's a small glass neck ornament, and their crescent-shaped ornament, 7720, that was something that they wore back then. These are all symbols of pride. Verse 19, the women were running around proud and showing off and full of jewelry and all that. The drops, 5188, that's an ornament like a drop of water. And the bracelets, 8285, and the veils, 7479. Verse 20, the turbans, 6287, and the armlets, 6087, and the sashes, 7196. The perfume, 5315, boxes, 1004, the perfume boxes. They had sachets of perfume about their necks. And amulets, 3908. These are all symbols of arrogance and pride and haughtiness. Oh, look at me, I'm so fancy, I've got all this stuff. Verse 21, the rings, 2885, and the nose rings, 639 for nose, and rings, 5141, they pierced their nose and wore rings in their nose as ornaments. Our culture back then was totally different from what we have right now. But now what do you see coming back? Nose piercings. Ew! Verse 22, the festive robes, 4254. The over tunics, 4595. The cloaks, 4304. And the purses, 2754. This is all symbols of arrogance and female pride and haughtiness. All of this stuff. Verse 23, the tablets of polished metal, 1549. The fine linen wrappers, 5466. The turbans, 6797. Different word for turbans than verse 20. And the large veil, 7289. Verse 24, and it shall be instead of a sweet odor, 13:14, that's spices, okay? That's what they use for perfume. There shall be rottenness, 4716. And instead of a girdle, 2290, an encircling rope. Instead of work, 4639, of the turner, 4748. That's the work of a hairstylist. A bald spot, 7144. Their hair will fall out. In other words, instead of fancy hairdo, you have a bald spot. Instead of a rich robe, 6614, a girding of sackcloth. Branding, 3587, instead of beauty, 3308. And branding is branding as a slave. Oh boy. So, they were going to be lowered down to the ranks of slaves. Verse 25, your men, 4962, shall fall by the sword, and your mighty men, 1369, in battle. Verse 26, her gates shall mourn, 578, and lament, 56. She shall be cleaned out, 5352, and sit on the ground. That's emptied of people and just sitting there. What he's prophesying here is Yehuda and Jerusalem will be destroyed and depopulated. That came to pass. Their former lifestyle will cease. All the positions of honor and respect will vanish. All the pridefulness of their women, they're going to be driven off as slaves. They're not going to have any of their ornaments or their perfume or their fancy stuff. They will be stripped of everything. And this took place. Let's get into chapter 4. It's only 6 verses. Verse 1. And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to remove our reproach. 622 is removed and reproach is 2781. and that's barrenness of womb. They're not going to have any children. But they want this man's name, so they will have some status. Verse 2. In that day shall the sprouting, 6780, of Yahweh be beautiful, 6643, and glorious, and the fruit of the land majestic, 1347, and renowned, 8597, for the escaped, 6413, of Israel. Those are those that escape the future judgment. they will prosper. Well, who's going to have eternal life when Yeshua Messiah comes? Those that escape what's coming. Those that don't lose faith. The whole key is not losing faith. Don't huddle in the Judeo-Christian churches and worship falsely. Don't knuckle under and give in to the system and take the mark of the beast. The fruit of the land is going to be yours for the overcomer. Okay? Trust in Yahweh. Verse 3. And it shall be those left in Zion and the remainder in Jerusalem shall be called holy. That's 6918. That's set apart. All that are inscribed, 3789, for life, 2416, in Jerusalem. Okay, written in Yahweh's book of life. And here, verse 4, here's another one where the scribes changed it to Adonai. I have restored it to Yahweh, where it belongs. When Yahweh shall wash away, 7364, the filth, 6675, of the daughters of Zion, and shall cleanse, 1740, the blood, 1818, of Jerusalem from the midst of it by the Spirit, 7307, of judgment, 4941, and by the Spirit of burning, 1197. That's a cleansing or purging, 1197. It's going to be destroyed and then it'll be rebuilt because Yahweh is going to send new Yerushalayim down to us with Yahshua, and only the clean will be able to enter. Think upon that. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Okay? This is what's coming. It's not all warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely. Verse 5 of chapter 4. You can reference Exodus 13, verse 21, and verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 16 of Exodus. Verse 5. And Yahweh will create upon all established places, 4349, of Mount Zion, and upon sacred assemblies, 4744, a cloud, 6051, by day, and smoke, 6227, with the brightness, 5051, of the flame, 3852, of fire, 784, by night. Listen to this in verse 5. Because upon all the glory shall be a canopy, 2646, and that implies a canopy of protection. verse 6. And there shall be a booth, 5521, for shade, 6738, in the daytime from the heat, 2721, and for a place of refuge, 4268, and for a shelter, 4563, from storm, 2230, and rain, 4306. New Jerusalem will have a shade and protection. The remnant is going to be sheltered and protection. He's going to extend a canopy of protection upon the faithful in the last days. I keep telling you this. We as people, Adamic mankind, cannot fight against the weapons that are arrayed against us, physical weapons of war, but Yahweh can. All in the past, He has fought for us. He's not going to fight for the Judeo-Christian churches. They are going to be destroyed. But He is going to fight for His true chosen people of Israel in these last days. When it comes down to these battles against what seems to be an overwhelming enemy, and they do seem mighty, oh yes, they want us to think that they are so mighty. They have drones and they have this and they have Kevlar and body armor and tanks and helicopters and on and on and on and on and on. What is more mighty than Yahweh? Nothing. That's going to be the topic of my sermon tonight. Everybody's worried about what's coming. Yahweh's got it in hand. Oh, if this one's elected or that one's elected. We got an inauguration on Friday. Do you really think the status quo is going to change that much? You really think the ones that are in control right now are going to allow it to change that much? Of course they're not. You don't get to that high office in today's politics unless you are a total, complete sellout. You don't get to be a rich man today. Unless you are willing to play the game, okay? They won't allow you to succeed that much. They won't let you succeed to their level unless you play the game their way. So these guys that are running for office, I don't like any of them. I don't trust any of them. I don't trust in mankind or mankind's government. At all. None. Zero. Zippo. Nada. Nicto. Niet. So, don't be surprised by what comes. They raise false hope. I don't hope in man. I don't hope in the government to radically change what's been going on basically since the foundation of this nation. Look at Great Britain. All their common law and the rights they used to have, all gone. They're not even allowed to say things in Great Britain. They lock them up if they make the wrong statement. And you think that's not coming here? Do you think because that anti-Judaism statement bill failed in the House that they're not going to bring it back up again as soon as Congress goes back into session? You think they're going to give up? They'll just keep bringing it up every time. Every time they meet, they're going to put it on the floor again until it passes. They're going to be relentless. That's what they do. That's what they are. That's what the seed of the serpent race does. You keep looking for relief from men, and you're not going to get it. You're not going to get an honest politician. The two words don't go together. They just come on, folks. Oh, he's an honest politician. It's like military intelligence. What an oxymoron, military intelligence. Anybody that's been in the military knows that the powers that be higher up have their head squarely up their buttocks. They just use our men like cannon fodder, send them into harm's way. For what reason? For nothing. Oh, well, we really didn't need that hill anyway, but thanks. We took it. We're going to let the enemy have it back now. This world is a testing ground to see how faithful you're going to be. That's all it is. These temporary little lives we have in these temporary little bodies. You know what? You live 100 years. What's 100 years? Nothing. I've seen this country taken from the Leave It to Beaver, Ozzie and Harriet, dream world of America. White neighborhoods, white schools, real education, healthy food. And it's turned into a slum. It's turned into a ghetto. White neighborhoods, hard to find them anymore. Can't send your kids to school because they might get beat up or stabbed, or if it's a daughter, gang raped, or just beaten because they're white. This is not the America I grew up with. I'm sorry. It just is not. And it's not going to come back again. Not in any condition that it was. And when Yeshua Messiah comes back, all these wrongs will be righted. But we're going to have honest law then. We're not going to have the crooked courts and the politicians and the lifetime appointed judges that think they can make law, and the biased news media, and the crooked attorneys. All of that's going to go. There's going to be one law worldwide. You talk about a one world order, it's going to be one world order. It's going to be the kingdom of Yahweh, which encompasses the entire planet. He's not just coming for the United States and Great Britain and a few others. Yeshua is going to rule the world. And his chosen people are going to be the administrators of the law, and we will rule with his rod of iron, and any disobedience to that law will be justly punished, sometimes quite harshly, sometimes with death. If these non-Israelite peoples don't obey, it's going to be the end of them. You know? The only ones who promised eternal life are the children of Israel. I don't care what the Judeo-Christians say. I don't care what fairy tales they've been telling the people. It's all coming to a screeching halt. When they say he's coming back with flaming fire, that's not the warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely Jesus that the Judeo-Christian churches are talking about. Oh, he's just love. He loves everybody. No, he does not. He does not. And if you read that chapter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 6 through 10, you'll see that. It tells of the destruction of those that have persecuted true Israel. And the churches won't touch that with a stolen 10-foot pole. It would hurt the collection plate. So there's only one hope, okay? And it's not in arms and ammunition. You're not going to do a thing against an Abrams tank with a rifle and a pistol. Can't do anything against a helicopter gunship with a rifle and a pistol. You have to come into reality. Without divine intervention and that's not going to come for a time because we have to go through the tribulation. That's prophesied. It's right in the scripture. We're going to have 3.5 years of hell on earth. And people don't like to hear that. Well, I don't want to hear that. I don't care whether you want to hear it or not. Read it in the scripture. Well, I don't like that part. I don't care whether you like that part. I'm trying to wake people up to get them prepared. You're going to have survival supplies and be ready to go when the time comes. You're not going to be able to stay in your homes. They'll go house to house and just do whatever they're going to do. They're not going to have any moral structure. More than likely, it's not going to be American troops. It'll be UN. Oh, I've been hearing that crap for years. Okay. We're on Yahweh's timetable. He's not on ours. It's not going to happen overnight just because we want it to. We forget our place in the pecking order. He's Yahweh. We're not. We are to obey Him. We cannot downsize Him that we can grasp all His magnificence. Time for me to go, folks. It's less than a minute. So I'll talk to you tomorrow and we'll be getting into chapter 5 of Isaiah. May Yahweh bless and keep you, folks, and Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads us.